The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. It is page 93 in the New Testament. It is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. I will read the words. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to the high place and showed him in instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Amen. That there are a couple of fantasies that people live with. The first is that if I have more money than now, I will be happy. If I earn more money so that I can move to a bigger house than the one I lived in before, and if I ride a better car than I did before, of course, any person would feel good. But the person does not become happy. Maybe it'll last a day or several days, and perhaps at most within 6 months or a year, one would get used to the convenience offered by many and will live a life that's not too different from before. The second fantasy has to do with work that we do right now. People think that if I do a different kind of work or if I get promoted, I will become happy. So people dream about getting promoted, moving to an ideal job, or doing one's own business. When a problem or a difficulty surfaces at work, we dream of throwing down our resignation letter at the stuffy and dense superior and moving on to work at a fabulous job. But the reality is that there is no place for us to move on to, and no one is asking us to come over, so we just stay put and hang on. And even if a chance comes along to move to a new job that one dreamed about for a long time, only the disappointment that is not too different here either ends up growing. The third fantasy that people tend to have has to do with spouses. I hear this a lot. "If only I did not meet him or her, my life would have been great by now." I'm not saying that I hear this from my wife, but I hear this from people. But the funny thing is that the spouse of the person who talks like that has been thinking the same thought already for several years. Now, dreaming is an enjoyable exercise, but groundless fantasies at times cause us to make a mistake of falling into a bottomless pit. The thing we end up doing because of mistaken illusions sometimes leave us with permanent shame that cannot be wiped away as long as we live. Now, the first couple, Adam and Eve, lived without any want in the Garden of Eden, enjoying everything that God had provided for them. What God had provided for Adam and Eve, of course, was the absolute best and perfect for them. But the enemy, which is symbolized by the snake, planted a false illusion in Eve that if they were to only eat the fruit of the tree of the good and evil, they would become like God. In the eyes of Eve, who fell for this false illusion, the fruit looked good, and she ate the fruit and also gave one to Adam to eat. This event of eating the fruit of the tree of the good and evil was not just the personal fault of Adam and Eve, but it was an event by which the two persons who represented humanity became corrupt. In other words, the corruption of the entire humanity. In Romans chapter 5, 12 and 14, it is stated that, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and death reigned even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam. The history of the fall, which is connected by sin, so began with Adam and Eve, the representatives of the humanity. But God planned an amazing project which would reverse the consequences of corruption initiated by them. At the end of Luke chapter 3, the family tree of Jesus is recorded not from the former generation to the next generation, but in the reverse order. It was said that the purpose of this was to reveal that the beginning of man is with God. And it intends to remind us of the name of Adam by placing Adam at the very bottom, who was the first man. Now, in chapter 4, which immediately follows this text, the name of Jesus makes its appearance in connection with the name of Adam, the failed man. Adam, the beginning point of the humanity, fell. But God, who is the originator of humanity, wanted to show us that the arm of Jehovah God, who would save men, is never too short. Through Jesus, who came in the form of a man, God made Jesus to face the temptation from the devil, which Adam failed to overcome. By making the second Adam, Jesus, who came in the form of a man, to face the temptations, God held out the arm of Jehovah's saving arm, which is not too short, to humanity, who went down the critical path of corruption due to the failure of the first Adam. God gave men a new chance. Jesus going to the desert, led by the Spirit, and being tempted by the enemy was something which happened within the meticulous plan of God. Verses 2 to 3 of today's text records this about Jesus, who is being tempted as a representative of all the fallen men. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Adam and Eve became fallen by eating the fruit of the tree, which was at the center of the garden. And it is definitely not a coincidence that the first temptation that Jesus, who had not eaten for 40 days, faced had to do with eating. Now, there is an old saying in Korea that says, "There is no one who will not climb a wall after having starved for 3 days." The hunger legitimizes even extreme actions of men. In particular, in midst of war or in a situation where one's waiting for rescue, horrible crimes are committed because of hunger. The enemy is tempting Jesus. Who would criticize Jesus, who had faced extreme hunger, for turning a couple of stones into bread? Moreover, wouldn't the Son of God be more than entitled to do that? But Jesus said, "This is the temptation of the devil." Jesus answered, "It is written, men shall not live on bread alone." A man cannot live without things to eat, to wear, and to drink. But a man cannot live by those things alone. So I will not disrupt the order of creation, which is being set by God to fill the hunger of my body, says Jesus decisively. Now, why did Jesus say that? If we read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which Jesus quoted from his first part carefully, we can know the reason. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It says that God led the people of Israel with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire in the desert, made water to flow from a rock, and sent down the manna and quail to come down from heaven to feed them and clothe them, so that they might know that they live by all the words that are spoken by the mouth of God. There is a more critical and important hunger to man than physical hunger. It is spiritual hunger, and this is filled up only when one listens to God's words and follows them. The hunger is filled when we listen in Korean chung, and to be obedient to it in Korean chung. It was to make the people become people of hearing and obeying that God had fed them with manna and quails and clothed them. In case of Adam and Eve, there were people who failed by not listening to the words of God and following the demands of their bodies. Among the praise songs, there is a song with these lyrics. If the Lord says, I will go forward. If it is not the Lord's will, then I will stop. Whether I go or stop, it depends on the Lord's will. O Lord, guide me. Every time I sing this song, I ask myself, if the Lord says just one word, go, will I be obedient and go even if it's a way of hardship? If the Lord says stop, will I stop and endure, even if it may cause misunderstandings and losses on my part? God satisfies our physical hunger, grants us miracles, and makes water to come from a rock in the desert in order to make us people who listen and obey. And yet, we have no interest in listening and obeying. We only clamor to be satisfied of our hunger. We insist and plea that our problems be solved first. In living, we are always driven and controlled by hunger, by thirst, by the situations and environment we are in, and are not interested in what the Lord is saying, what the Lord's words might be for this time. It is difficult to find those who seek to understand the lamenting heart of the Father towards this earth. Those who confess and lament that the pains and the crimes, disobedience and obscenities are my problems and go forward to God. Those who beat their egos before the words of God to make themselves obey. The devil says to take care of the hunger first. The enemy says, use whatever means to satisfy that hunger. But Jesus says, what should come first before physical hunger is listening to and obeying the words. Let us live as people of God who is not controlled by hunger, by desires and greed, but listen and obey those who try to understand the heart of the Lord. The devil who failed at the first temptation tries again. And this is verse verses 5 to 7. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all this authority and splendor. It has been given to me. I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all be yours. The devil says, I've been given all of these things. If you worship me, I will give you all of the authority and splendor. So who has given authority over all things to the devil? When God created Adam and Eve, he said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So it was Adam and Eve who had fallen into devil's temptation, had given the authority to rule over all things that God entrusted them with, the right to rule over to the devil. The devil says, I will give you the authority and the splendor if you worship me. It is a temptation that says, if you only bow down to me, I will give you the power and the authority to rule over all nations, riches, and the splendors. This temptation is not asking the Son of God, who came to earth to betray his Father God. It is to encourage Jesus to take control over the authority, power, and the seat of riches and splendor, the high seat of authority, in order to meet his calling as a Savior rather than go to the cross. It is asserting that to be a true leader that cares for the people of this earth, one should not go down the path of pathetic death, but go up to the place of authority and glory. In other words, to become the Messiah, the King of authority and glory, Jesus must compromise. It's not necessary to deny God. Jesus only has to close his eyes for a moment and compromise a bit, and he can rise to the position of a ruler who can save people of Israel, which is a blatant lie. Here, bowing to the devil would be a sign that one would compromise with the principle of the devil that rules the world and would accept the principle and values that govern this world. One delusion that a lot of people fall into is that they will first succeed, first get ahead, first make some money, first get the position of respectability, and then afterwards will contribute to the works that God desires. But the problem is that later never comes. If succeeding and being recognized becomes the most important things, then the means and the ways used to achieve them become less of an issue. If one becomes obsessed with success and recognition, it becomes necessary to adhere completely to the principles and the rules of the world. In short, one becomes defrauded by the enemy, which controls behind the principles of the world. Instead of becoming successful, the life turns into a waste, a playground for the devil. This is what Jesus said to this temptation of the devil. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I will only serve God and serve him only, Jesus declares, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. And he declares that he will not compromise for the sake of success, for power, for glory. Even if I cannot have authority and glory, I will walk the path that God has shown to me. I will only serve God and will not compromise or bow down to anything. It was also a declaration of will that during each moment on the journey he was taking, Jesus will live under the principles and rules of God without any exception. We who follow Jesus are the people of God who only worship God. Let us live as people who only serve God. Let us not fall prey to the lies of the devil, which tempts us that if we compromise, we will come to gain riches and success, reputation, and power. Now, the devil who failed at the second temptation also brings Jesus to the top of the Jerusalem temple. This is verse 9. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. Now, the top of the temple is where all of the eyes of the people are focused on. If Jesus jumps off from there and people see that he has survived without a scratch, a miracle, then the people of Israel will come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah spoken about in the Old Testament. There is no better place, an opportunity to prove who Jesus is in such a dramatic way. The devil even quotes words from Psalms and Deuteronomy as a basis for this temptation. The third temptation of the enemy is an attempt to make Jesus to use God as a way to affirm Jesus' existence. And there are so many people among Christians living today who use the words of God to prove their existence. They use the words of God, the gifts given to them by God, as a way to display themselves. But the gifts given to us by God are not things that are to be used to prove to others what kind of people we are. God is not our tool to prove how great my power is, and God is not some genie of a magic lamp that grants the miracles I want anytime. The words of God should not be a way to prove my logic. Actually, the opposite is true. My life should be an instrument by which God may be revealed, and the way I live should be an instrument of praise that lifts up God's name. My life should be the proof that God is love. Jesus, who was acknowledged by God that he was the beloved Son of God, in whom God rejoices, when he was baptized by the river of Jordan, does not care too much about being acknowledged by men. In the same way, people who have affirmed themselves in God and who have found their identity in God need not beg for people's recognition. And so there was no reason for Jesus to jump from the top of the Temple of Jerusalem, where the eyes of all were headed, in order to prove himself and to display himself. Jesus decisively refused to use and test God for himself. The Jesus answer to this temptation, it is said, "Do not put the Lord God, your God, to the test." And Jesus was not shaken by the third temptation either. Now, the first temptation was about hunger. The second temptation was in trying to make Jesus compromise for the sake of authority, glory, and success. And the third temptation was to make turn God into a tool to be used. The reason that God made Jesus, who came in the form of a man just like us, to face these temptations was to confirm for us that the arms of Jehovah who restores us and saves us are never too short. He does not leave us where we have failed. But he sent Jesus to earth to deliver us in the midst of our failures and despair. He made Jesus, who came as the last Adam, to more than confidently overcome the test that the first Adam had failed. But the last verse of today's text, which ends the story of the temptation of Jesus, says the following. This is from verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. In another translation, it says, that completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. The devil left Jesus, but it continued to attack Jesus in order to tempt him. It hardened the hearts of the minds of people of Israel so that they would crucify Jesus on the cross. And by seeing Jesus on the cross, the devil became sure of his victory. But God, by making Jesus, who died on the cross, live on the third day from his grave, declared Jesus' victory forever and the defeat of the enemy who was given the authority of death. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and the following verses testify as follows. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God made everyone in heaven and on earth to bow down before the name of Jesus, who lived again. He had made the devil bow down. God declared the defeat of the enemy through resurrection and the complete victory of Jesus for our sake, so to free us who live our whole lives being the slave to the enemy. The authority of the devil that tried to tempt at every opportunity became completely crushed by the cross and the resurrection, and Jesus won forever. By triumphing over the temptations of the devil, which Adam failed to overcome, Jesus became the last Adam who gives us victory. This was when my second child was around the age of 3 and 4. One day I was watching my child who was playing in the yard of our house from a room on the second floor. He was riding a scooter for kids, but a fight broke out with a couple of kids who were passing by. These neighborhood kids who were a head taller than my child took the scooter away from my kids so they can ride it, and they took turns riding it. I thought nothing of it and thought they will give it back to him after a while and return to what I was doing and looked out the window after a bit. That's when I saw my son lifted up in the air, having been grabbed by the oldest kid. As soon as I saw this, I went down the stairs from the second floor room, kicked open the front door, and rushed to the yard in bare feet in a lightning speed. As soon as I burst through the door, the eyes of my son and my eyes met. At that moment, my son, who was still hanging in the air, started punching the kids in their faces, and the kids, who were much bigger than my son, became scared out of their wits and scattered to avoid the punches that started flying. Now for us, who is not able to resist the devil who has us by the throat in the air and live reluctantly, Jesus abandoned his heavenly throne and rushed to this earth in his bare feet. This Jesus is standing behind us. In John 1, chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. If it's not for us who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who will overcome the world?" The minute we lift up our eyes of faith to Jesus, the minute our eyes meet the gaze of Jesus, victory is promised to us. Until now, how often have we failed before the temptations of basic desires of hunger, of power, of success, of pleasure and sexual desires and all of the temptations to use God for the sake of my life? Let us no longer live as the descendants of the first Adam who had failed and became fallen. Let us live as disciples of Jesus who came as the last Adam and won over the temptations, who died on the cross and lived again from death, Jesus who is victorious. I desire with all my heart that all of us will become the people of the Lord who look to Jesus in our daily lives and sing the songs of victory about the victory won by Jesus the eternal and complete victory. Now let us pray. Father God, we have fallen so many times. We have failed so many times. With my strength and my power alone, there was nothing else I could do. But for us who have so failed, Jesus personally faced the temptations of the devil and endured the temptations at the very front for us. But Jesus, who was tempted, died on the cross, and lived again, giving us the eternal victory to us who had always been defeated. The victory of the Lord is our victory. Help us now to live from the Lord's victory, the power of the Lord's resurrection in our daily lives. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.